If you've taken a walk down Queen Street lately, you might have noticed you can barely get 5 steps before you see a fast food outlet. Data collected by the Helen Clark Foundation has shown fast food and takeaway businesses make over $1 billion a year on average, or $3 million a day. So why is this industry so lucrative? I asked Dr. Michael Hale, a public health doctor at the Auckland Regional Public Health Service.
Well, there's a number of reasons. First and foremost, they've engineered it that way and we've really allowed it with very lax regulations on it. So we know that people are driven by price, taste and convenience when it comes to food. And fast food target all those things by being everywhere to make the decision almost for us, and by hyper-editing the food, pumping it full of things that stimulate dopamine in our brain so that we want more. And at the same time, they're allowed to market almost unrestricted in New Zealand. So no surprise that it's a very lucrative business.
The data also shows that more deprived areas have more fast food outlets than less deprived areas. So the lower the socioeconomic status of an area, it seems that there is more fast food available for consumption. What do you make of this?
Well, it shows that there's targeting going on. And so it's not just an issue of unhealth and, yeah, a problem for our health system, but it's an issue of equity and the fact that these often multinational companies are deliberately setting up shop in areas where people can least afford it and where we know we have the highest rates of obesity in the city already.
Yeah, it seems that there's no ethical or legal ways to prevent this. It's mainly just profit driven. Would you agree?
I agree, it's profit-driven, and that is one of the big problems, is the lack of any regulatory teeth in New Zealand to address this. We see in other countries, for example in London, that they have some measures to restrict the density of fast food, which has been really helpful there. So once you get to a certain density in an area, no more fast food can be zoned for that. In New Zealand, once something is zoned retail under the Resource Management Act, then even if every single person in that community wrote a letter and said that they didn't want it to be another fast food shop, there is no mechanism whereby that has any binding impact on it and it can be made into a fast food outlet. So density restrictions are needed, and we also need things, again, like what's been Berkeley and London, buffer zones around schools. That means, you know, you've got a 500 metre or an eight minute walk zone where you can't set up a shop there. These type of things produce a meaningful reduction in the number of outlets that there are.
New Zealand is currently second in the OECD in obesity rates due to these food swamps. If this kind of keeps up, if there's no regulations or legislation introduced, how realistic is it to kind of reduce the rate of obesity and other health problems in New Zealand?
Well, you know, the scenario we have now, as you say, high levels of obesity and the concomitant health problems like cardiovascular disease and diabetes, it's entirely predictable when we have a market-based regime like we do currently here. Very minimal restrictions on marketing. Children see one brand every minute, gets put in front of their face. 1 in 5 of those are for food and beverages. Like we've just discussed, there is an abundance of fast food outlets around. So there's no point hand-wringing and looking to the sky to say, why are we second? It's quite simply a product of the environment that we've created.
You would expect quite a lot of pushback from people who are, you know, pro-business, pro-capitalism, where it's basically, you know, supply and demand, allegedly. But do you kind of consider this very high on the government's list of priorities to kind of introduce this kind of legislation?
Well, I think we all want to live in a society that makes it easy for everybody to be healthy. Mm. That's got benefits for livability. It's got benefits for reduced spend later on in the health system. Most major hospitals are building big dialysis wings with the predicted increase in diabetes and kidney failure. We can address this way at the bottom of the cliff, or we can create a society, which we're free to do in a democracy, of a society where the environment isn't making it really, really difficult not to put on weight, but one that it's making it, you know, that the simplest person, the person who doesn't need to have a PhD in market economics and behavioural theory can live in that society and live a healthy weight, be physically active and eat well.
earlier this year, Associate Professor Leah Watkins from the Marketing Department at the University of Otago ran a study using body cams on children and found kids were exposed to nearly a brand per minute. I asked her about the impact of kids seeing so much marketing. Amazing, that's good. So earlier this year, you conducted a study on children and marketing and found that kids are exposed to nearly a brand per minute. This is a staggering number. So what is the impact of kids seeing so much marketing on their day-to-day lives?
Well, from our perspective, there's two impacts. One of those is just that marketing, regardless of what it's for, obviously just leads to attitudes of materialism, which has links to some negative well-being outcomes. But I guess more importantly, it's specifically what type of messages they are seeing. And of course, there is lots of social marketing and marketing that you could regard as neither good nor harmful. But then there is marketing that is directly harmful to children.
New data has found that fast food outlets and takeaway shops made over $6.7 billion in the past 6 years. This is over $1 billion per year on average, and it equates to every adult, child and baby in Auckland consuming 560 slices of pizza every year. So what is the fast food marketing industry like? Why does it appeal so much to children?
So the fast food industry does use a lot of tactics that appeal specifically to children, if we think about the use of characters and the colours that they use, and indeed the locations and other methods of marketing that they use.
What kind of regulations are there currently that might reduce the harm of marketing that's targeting children?
So there is a specific code of marketing to children, but obviously because it's a voluntary code at this stage, it doesn't have a huge amount of impact. And indeed, when we did our study earlier in the year, we did find that children are seeing a huge amount of advertising for products that are not recommended to be advertised to children. So things like confectionery, sugary drinks, fast food, etc.
What kind of regulations would you like to see?
From my perspective, it would be around the location of signage. And we know, for example, that in lower socioeconomic areas, there are just a huge number of fast food outlets and dairies that are covered in advertising for, again, mostly confectionery and soft drinks. So I think an important thing would be to think about the children's environments around schools in particular, but also just in the communities they live in, to reduce some of that out-of-home advertising that they're exposed to. And also it would be looking at what they are exposed to online in particular and via television. And again, looking specifically at what product categories we should be focusing on, and food would certainly be one of those, to think about. Again, things like tobacco, for example, clearly you can't market that to children. So we could develop regulations around looking at the nutrient profile, perhaps, of different foods and thinking about whether that is appropriate to advertise.
And finally, I spoke to someone earlier today about buffer zones around schools. Do you think these would have a significant impact in reducing the amount of overconsumption of marketing?
I certainly do, and our study where the children wore the cameras, a lot of what they were seeing was going to and from school, and when they walk into a dairy, they are just surrounded by confectionery and soft drink, basically. And so obviously the temptation to stop in on the way to school or the way home from school, and even if they don't stop in, then just that repeated exposure that normalises those products, then if we could reduce that, I do think it would have an impact.
That was Michael Hale and Leah Watkins speaking to me about fast food marketing and the impact of marketing on children.